Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know if she's got plans for you.
Applewhite. This is the student to teacher to student radio show on internet. Talk about technology. We have switchboards lighting up here. I'll tell you. Good morning. We have a great show planned this morning. Who do I have on the air here at 480-824? We got a lot of Arizona numbers calling in. Come on, you listeners out there in other states and other countries. No problem to call in. Who's this at 824 here? How are you?
I'm doing fine. This is Tom Baker.
Well, good morning, Tom Baker. Good to hear from you. I'm so glad you could join us today on our show and talk a little bit about teacher burnout, student dropout. This is a third segment of a show, and we're going to be focusing on feelings and ideas about the killings of the students in Chicago and elsewhere in the world. So stay tuned. Okay, we have another caller here at 213-9696. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
Good morning, Professor Apple. This is Dorothy Resource Consultant.
That's right. You sure are the greatest resource consultant White Apple Institute could have, I'll tell you. We appreciate you being here this morning. We know you're going to share some great things with us. We'll come back to you so that you can read our show description. All right, we've got some other callers coming on. Let's go ahead and introduce them. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite, student to teacher to student. How are you?
I'm fine. Hello, Professor Applewhite. This is Tony Soule, student advisory board member.
Well, Tony Soule, it's a pleasure to hear from you this morning. I'm doing great, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to have a great discussion today about some strategies we can share to help some of the teachers and students out there that are really, really overwhelmed in their heart about what's been happening with the recent killings. Okay? So stay tuned.
Yeah.
We've got another caller online here. Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not doing the board meeting.
Okay. We are right after the show. We're on air right now. So almost 1,000 listeners are listening to everything we say. And so we want to make sure that we stay right in tune with the show theme today. And any other questions, well, we can address after the show. Thank you so much for some of the board members who are online this morning. Okay, we have another caller coming in. Good morning. 791.
Good morning, Janita. Professor Applewhite, this is Donna Govan.
And Donna Govan. I'm so happy to have you here on the show. And is that Jerry Govan in the background?
That's Jerry.
Right. Our supporters. We really appreciate you. We appreciate the book. They have just donated 10 books to White Apple Institute. All of you listeners out there, if you're interested in making a donation, any new members
that
come on.
Yeah, we're on Talk Radio right now.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, watch background noise for those of you that are online this morning. Just want to make an announcement to our listeners that we have a donation of books that came in from Jerry and Donna Govan, and anyone that signs up for membership on the website will automatically be given a book as part of a membership gift fee, a gift for them. So,
Ms. Apple?
Yes.
This is Melissa Cordell, just saying that I'm here.
Okay, Melissa Cordell. Thank you, Professor Applewhite. Appreciate you joining this morning. Okay,
yes.
So we're going to continue on with the show. I know that I'm going to go back to Dorothy Rashid, our resource consultant. And she will be describing what we're going to be talking about today so that everybody has a pretty good idea. The segment, the episode, is Do Teachers Burn Out as Quickly as Students Drop Out? We thought that was pretty a good theme to continue with. This is part three. But we're going to be looking at a different description, so we'll let Dorothy take over from there. Dorothy Rashid, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about what we need to focus on today?
Yes, we'll focus on shifting the past blame into present strategies. How can everyone think about how they can play a part in being responsible for children and improving their well-being in school?
Yeah.
And sharing feelings and ideas about the killing
what
you want and elsewhere.
So show them how you look in my sunglasses, James.
Okay.
Show them how you look in my sunglasses.
I'm going to try to mute that out. We've got some background noise going on there. Okay. Can everybody be conscious that we are picking up your background noise? Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Just mute your phones. So that you can still stay on the show and listen to what's going on. Okay? Dorothy, one moment before you get into the description, reading the description of the show, okay? One moment.
Okay.
Okay. I think we've got our co-host on here. Hello?
Nazim.
Okay. Here you are. This is our co-host and our professional development consultant for White Apple Institute. We welcome you this morning, Brother Nazim, and hope that you'll have some great things to share from your home city, Chicago. This is your home.
That's right.
Right? That's right. And
absolutely.
I'm sure your heart is aching. About
yeah,
it.
I am, but I'm listening to a radio show right now.
Yeah.
But I got
yeah.
one to
I,
tell you.
I know there.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute. I think that's Jerry Govan there, and we'll just mute him for a moment. Okay. All right, Dorothy, we're going back to you.
Okay. Professor Applewhite. Several co-hosts and guests will share their feelings and ideas about the killing of students in Chicago and elsewhere. A silent memory to Darion Albert and others like him. We praise God for the blessing of our lives as an example to others. Interestingly, most students drop out or join gangs because of academic failure and the overall lack of support from parents, teachers, and community leaders. However, teachers burn out more because of the lack of administrative support. Where you are invited to listen and participate in our discussions so we can find ways to minimize teacher burnout and student dropout together. President Obama, we agree. Yes, we can. Special thanks to our co-host, Nazim Rashid, authoring of Reconnecting, Jerry and Donna McGovern, Take the E Out of Ego, Habibullah Saleem's Poetry for Educators, Wendy Duncan of Farmers Insurance, and our special guest, Dr. Martha Bergen, Professor of Sociology and Communications at Gateway College in Phoenix, Arizona. And we express an attitude of gratitude to all our listeners and sponsors.
Yes, we do. We certainly do. Yes. Yes. I'm listening to you. Someone asked for to interject something. Please go ahead and speak. Go ahead.
Professor
Applewhite. Yes.
This is Tony again. I want to let everyone know, I believe it's October 9th, I will check to verify that there's a disability job fair at Gateway Community College. I don't know the exact details of it, but I'll see if I can get it from a friend of mine and email it to you. Or whoever you need to go to.
Dorothy, our resource consultant, and that'll be great.
Okay.
And we'll make sure that we announce that on the show. And that's for our Arizona listeners.
It's October 9th, I believe.
We know that people listen in from all over the world to this show, but we want everyone to know that we'll take announcements for any particular, any part of the country, so that people that are listening in that part of the country can attend. So don't ever feel apprehensive about sharing if you're in Chicago even, especially at this time when there's so much great mourning going on. Okay, we have a few more callers that just came on the switchboard, Dorothy, and we'll start our show in just a moment.
Sure.
Jerry Govan, we've got you back now. Just had to mute you for a moment there. Okay? All right. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite on Student to Teacher to Student.
All right.
Welcome
go
to our
ahead.
Radio
I'm
show.
On the radio.
Good morning. Good morning. This is a 602-265 number. Good morning.
Habibullah Salim.
Oh, good morning, Habibullah Salim, our additional co-host for the show this morning.
Hi.
And we have a 702 number calling in. Let's see who that is. Okay, our switchboard's lighting up this morning.
That's Jerry Govan.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me just go ahead and begin by saying that my heart is very heavy with not only the recent killings in Chicago, but that we have to acknowledge that these killings, at least at this level, have been going on for quite a while now, starting with Columbine as a beginning to mass murder on campuses without any true provocation. And when I say true provocation, I mean there's no direct one-on-one. These were arbitrary mass killings that just, where students are just taking guns and weapons and hurting those innocent bystanders even. We have, even in Newark, New Jersey, we have to recognize that we have young adults at 18, 19, 20 years old, White Apple Institute services students at 17 years old and above. But we have also suspects that are ranging from 15 and 16 years old that are now going to prison for murder sentences because of this outrage. So these schoolyard executions must stop. And there are very, very many concerned citizens out there that are willing to speak up, including those of you that are on the show this morning. But I just would like to, as Dorothy did just a moment ago, talk about a silent memory right now to Darian Albert and all of the other any students in Newark and all of the students who have passed on. I would just like to do a silent moment for them, if everybody could reflect for a moment on these students, and that we praise God for the blessing of their lives as an example to others. Thank you. Never before in all of the research that I've done in student massacres and execution-style killings on campus have I ever seen where even memorials to those students have been burned down. This is a new type of, and I'm going to go ahead and use the word evil, and I'm sure one of our co-hosts, especially Habibullah Salim, at the end of the show today will be able to talk a little bit about the word evil and how that plays a part in all of the things that are going on with our young adults today. And I call them young adults, not children, for the obvious reason of their age. If they were children, they would not be getting a prison sentence for the rest of their life for murdering another human being. And also because we service adult minors. The incident in Chicago, just so I can bring everybody up to date, Chicago has been dealing with almost three, since the school year began in 2008, almost three murders, three killings every single month. And this is no kidding. It's up to 34 plus killings now, not even counting the Darian Albert killing, which they beat this young man in front of everyone else, and these people were filming what was going on without even calling 911. There's something going on with the lack of empathy and the callousness of our society to watch something like that without even reporting it. In addition to the execution-style killings that are going on campus to people who are just entering the campus, it makes you almost afraid to go onto a schoolyard. This must stop, and the blaming must stop. We can go back and we can say we blame the parents. However, Professor Applewhite wants to remind everybody that many of these parents with children who were subjected to the same things that these students have been subjected to. So the cycle needs to be broken. So I'll take your comments now. Anyone that wants to jump in and just start commenting about their feelings on this?
Yeah, Professor Applewhite, I think a lot of it has to do with the look at the video games today. Like there's one called Doom, there's Resident Evil. Some of these games you basically blow people, you kill them by throwing stuff at them. There's another
wow.
one, there's a new one that just came out. I don't remember what it's called. It's called something, something Zombie Land or something. But you shoot things. You run around. You're a little guy. You run around and you shoot stuff.
Wow.
And some. I don't know if anyone on the show heard of the game Doom.
Anybody else heard about the show? Please flop your background noise. I can't tell what listener that is from our switchboard here. But I'm just hoping that everyone will appreciate the fact that we can't hear others clearly when there's a lot of background noise going on. So please mute your phones as necessary if you have background noise going on. Okay. Tony, that's a really great comment that you gave about video games and the
violence. Movies. There are some movies, too.
Right. And it makes, I think it creates, and my students have done many stories about this, it creates a lack of empathy, okay, and apathy, a lack of interest in what's going on, because I think that as we're looking at these video games, we're not thinking of the real death. You know, everybody gets up and they start walking again, or the game goes off and you can start again. So death doesn't become a permanent fixture in their mind.
No.
And I think that that's something that's happening also.
Well, that too, I've played some games myself. I've played the old text adventure games where you type in commands. You like type in something like go east, you know, pick up sword.
Yes.
And you die in those games too, but then you come back to life. But you know, most people back then in those days, like back in the DOS ages, there weren't any graphics. And
yes.
I don't know if anyone has ever played those text adventure games, but a lot of games nowadays, they have Mortal Kombat, Time Crisis 2, you shoot things.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to kids playing the old, our
that's
kids these days playing the old, board games Pinochle and stuff?
Yes.
What happened to that?
Monopoly or Scrabble or any of those games. Yeah, they don't happen anymore. Now they sit in front and they... of the television, and if they're not, Pac-Man, the days of Pac-Man are gone. So you mentioned Resident Evil, which is another one that I've seen out there and heard about. And these are pretty rough, very violent shows. Okay, very violent video games. Anybody else have any comments about that? I'm sure Nazim is going to jump in here in a minute.
Oh, yes, I'm just waiting.
Okay, Nazim, we're ready.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of things that can be said, but if you look at the root of it, we're living in a culture of violence and a culture of death. It's a violent and death, oriented culture. What does that mean? That means that the characteristics and qualities of promoting death and violence are in the norm of our culture. They're part of the norm. So therefore, for the kids to grow up and be okay with their peers, be okay with their community, unfortunately, okay in school, you have to promote and be about death and violence. You see, or you're not accepted. And so, unfortunately, kids want to be accepted. So how are you going to be accepted? You got to go out and kill somebody. You got to go out and beat somebody up. You got to promote violence in others. You got to be a bystander like in Chicago and watch somebody be killed right there before your eyes. You see, and so forth. So that's the deal right there. So the culture that they have subscribed themselves to dictates that they behave in that kind of fashion. So how you turn around, you have to say, I'm not going to be about that culture. I'm going to be about a subculture of life. You see, and that kid there was now he didn't want to be a part of the game, and so forth. But he was in that culture. So unfortunately, if you're physically in that culture, but mentally you're not, you will be swooped away anyway. So you have to remove yourself from that culture in order to have something else that's life-giving.
Now, that's a tough one because, we're talking about families, and a lot of that has happened throughout the nation, families moving around trying to find a decent place to raise their children and help their young adults to enter a high school that's safe. So that they can truly prepare for college, whether they have other at-risk issues or even a mental health disabilities or learning disabilities. And so, I totally agree with you. The environment has to change. The culture has to change. But it's not so easy, as many of us know, to just jump up and say, I'm leaving the city of Chicago or the city of New York or the city of Newark because of family ties and commitments, jobs, and that kind of thing. So, you know, we're taking that into account, what you said, Nazim. It's a very, very good point. Let's hear some other listeners out there jump in with your feeling tones of what we can do to help the parents and not point fingers so much about the parents, but support them. And I have some good news to share with you also about that. Anyone else?
Well, let me just say this. In terms of the structure of education, the structure of the classroom, when we look at the letters of the alphabet, right away, we're supposed to be teaching human beings. However, every letter of the alphabet connects with an animal. The A for alligator, a B for the bear, a cat, a dog, an elephant, a frog, a giraffe, a hyena. The last one is a zebra.
Yes.
And the word bra, B-R-A, bra represents or connects us to breastfeeding.
Yes.
So this very last letter in the alphabet shows that we've been breastfed with animal behavior, animal priorities. So early in the child's education, they go to a classroom with a big animal on the door. And I'm saying, what happened to teaching people as opposed to teaching animals? I mean, the alphabet could have been Alice, it could have been Barbara, it could have been Kathy, it could have been Deborah, it could have been Edward. We could name those alphabet after people. But there is a definite a plot to lead youngsters into animal behavior.
Absolutely. Chronic violence.
Okay.
Chronic violence.
So you have the word edit, and you have, in the word education, you have dunce, D-U-N-C-E, dunce. You have edit, E-D-I-T. You're taking away the original of the children to the point that they become other than themselves. And they start feeling dumb, you see? And there's a code, C-O-D-E is in the word education. So what is that code all about? And it says the code is any set of principles or rules of conduct. Rules of conduct. So what code are we up against that we need to be aware of? We need to decode a lot of what's going on.
Absolutely.
So that people can.
Word. Very good word. Decode.
Okay.
I like that, decode. Anybody else with how we can decode? I mean, how do we begin the process of decoding what has already been coded into our students? And now someone mentioned to me just recently, in preparing for college, there's no way that someone's going to go onto a college campus and begin fighting in the classroom with everybody. But you know what? They are doing that. You know, I've had instances in my classrooms or outside of my classrooms, I should say, where people are actually fighting with each other. And usually these are young adults that are about 17 to, I'd say, about 28, 29 years old. So it's in that particular generation that we're finding, which is what Tony alluded to earlier, that video game violence, what you were relating to, Habibullah, about the coding that needs to be decoded. Okay, what Nazim Rashid is talking about moving and leaving the culture. Okay, so all of these things are great strategies to use, but I'm looking for something else that's going to pull it together today. Anybody else have any other comments? And please, again, watch your background noise. I have too many on the switchboard to tell who's there with background noise, but if someone's talking to someone in the background. Okay.
Anita, this is Donna.
Yes, thank you, Donna. Boy, we talk about taking the E out of ego with some of these students and the chronic violence that's going on. What do you think about that? Donna? Hello?
Donna, she can't hear you.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay, one moment. Okay, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
That's okay, Donna.
Hear me
Donna?
Now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Donna. Donna Govan is the author of Taking the E Out of Ego, available on Amazon. How
one of the most
go ahead.
The
so
word.
Okay, go ahead.
The word love.
Yes,
it's
not love. There's somebody talking in the background there.
Yes. We're still getting some background noise. So that makes it difficult for us to hear Donna's great comments. Okay.
Danita, when Tom got on at the beginning, I think it was him. You can get his attention and ask him.
Okay. All right. Hello, Tom. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I would like to address the word love, and I would like to address it from the point of view of today, us sitting here in our spot, wherever we are, way mm-hmm. far away from Chicago, most of us, and people that are listening probably from other parts of the world. In my experience in healing and helping people and children in particular, school situations, business situations, parental and child discrepancies and conflict, which we know is part of the reason that a lot of students and children don't get support, is because their parents are in such conflict within themselves.
Very
so
good point.
Take a moment right now, just like you did, as a quiet moment for those that have already passed on in Chicago. But in my thinking and in a lot of religions, they haven't passed on. They have gone ahead of us to make a momentous importance be brought to the Chicago situation so that others can say there's a valuable lesson that needs to come out of this. What we can do this morning, that every time we think of Chicago, instead of thinking of it as a tragedy or an, oh my gosh, all of this anger, we can send love, and they will
yes.
feel it. There will be changes.
I truly, truly appreciate that comment, because when you think about the atrocity of the memorials being burned, the only thing you can do, you can either go in a direction, it's a choice. We can go in the direction to be very angry and start a vigilante style, a revenge issue, or we can come back to love. And I choose, and I hope I can encourage, and we can all encourage our listeners out there to go back to a place of love. I think I saw that in Darian Albert's mother when I was watching her face on the news. I think that's what she would like us to do, is to go back to that place. Anybody else?
I have one other second point, just briefly.
Yes.
And that is, you know, Jesus did say that exact same thing that you just said,
yes.
that when we are treated in that way, we turn it around. Because my second point is there anyone that you have ever known or read about in the newspaper who did an violence or anger or harshness or killing out of a loving vibration? No.
Uh-huh.
They did it out of hurt. Or someone did it to me, or this is, as Nazim said, the only thing that I have ever known for backlash for my frustrations or my mistreatment. And so if we just turn it around in our own minds, there's no way we can take all of the games away from the kids, but we can turn around the understanding of what it is to be hurt, and how can we turn that around to a strength, just like you started the show out with?
Mm-hmm. Turn that into a strength. And, you know, of course, and I want all of our listeners to know, we are in no way trying to take away the pain and suffering that the parents may be going through right now. All of these young people from Newark to New York to California schools, we're not trying to say that this is easy to forget or easy to choose to change our understanding. But we're asking that maybe this is one of the strategies that has to go in the package deal, okay? And let me tell you before, because our time is going to start moving on very quickly, as it does a lot when we get into these great conversations. We've got about 30 minutes remaining. And I do want to interject, and I'll bring this back up again, that the city of Chicago has devoted $30 million, and this $30 million, don't ask me where they found it in this economy, but this $30 million will be used for mentorship programs and for jobs, for part-time after-school jobs that will be focused on those students who are at risk, okay? So that is one way of counteracting some of the issues that we're facing. Because one of the things that we know we can't do in this great country of America is go into the homes and change the parents, okay? But we can prevent things from happening by giving them resources, okay, the students themselves. Any other comments?
Yes.
When did this happen? Because I usually listen to the news constantly during the week.
Just last week.
I didn't hear anything about it because I get the news wires online and stuff. One other thing I was going to tell you, there's a website for people, for parents and people who think their teens are in trouble. It gives them tips and advice on how to get their teens back into the school.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Is there a website?
Hold on a second. I believe it is boostup.org.
What does it say it again?
It's boost, B-O-O-S-T, U-P dot O-R-G. I saw that as an infomercial. And what it is, let me get my computer to work here, but I wasn't, you know, let's see.
Boostup.org, listeners out there. We haven't given our call-in number. Please, any of you listeners out there, feel free to call in with further comments at 1-646-727-3758. Or you can contact us on chat. Nazim Rashid will respond to you on chat if you'd like to make a comment and don't want to go on air with your comment. In addition to that, of course, you can always connect with us at White Apple Institute. This show is a promotion of the mission of White Apple Institute. Tony, are you ready with that information?
Yeah, it's www.boostup.org. And I haven't really looked at the website, but I think there's a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Yes. Well, I can tell you most assuredly, Dorothy, our resource consultant, has already taken down that information and will have it available to those that need to talk a little bit more about this. We certainly are very, very involved as White Apple Institute works with students with all of these at-risk issues to help them succeed at school and work.
The reason I saw the ad, Dorothy, for your information, if you ever watch AC Channel 14 at night around 10 o'clock or around 10 o'clock at night, you'll see the ad come on.
Okay. So for our Arizona listeners, he just gave a television show that's on in the evening. For our listeners outside of Arizona, feel free to share with us information from your own communities. Because we always have people calling in. And someone made a note, I don't know if it was Dorothy, but someone made a note about how people from other countries may be looking at what's going on with our school system. Here we are in the so-called greatest country in the world, okay, with all of the prosperity, so-called prosperity, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all of these so-called fringe benefits that many countries do not enjoy. And we have some of the highest statistics on self-esteem issues and chronic violence in our schools. There's got to be a reason for that. Anyone else that would like to add?
Dr. Applewhite, you mentioned money, which is very important, but the word also has to be morals. We can have more money and less morals, and our morals keep diminishing even though we may increase money. So we need more morals, and we mentioned we must have a connection with our youngsters back to God. They have to have a connection with God, and many youngsters don't believe in God or there is a God or what have you. But we have to also be careful of what God are we talking about. You know, is this God black? Is he white? Is he pink? Or is he just concerned for all human beings, period? He's not interested in what color. And sometimes we promote color in terms of the power structure, and those who don't have that color begin to feel that they're worthless, they're useless, what have you. So love, and we talk about love. Love can only come from God. What we can do is give attention to certain people or to certain things, but the love that we really get is not coming from us. It's coming from God, and we're passing it on. So we can't have a continuation of love if we don't have a continuation of God. And so that's very important that we could help our youngsters reconnect with the real creator and the real power of life.
Now, unfortunately, Habibullah and other listeners out there, you are aware that we have legislation right now on the board that's promoted by American Civil Liberties Union for the express interest that everyone needs to understand that religion is a personal choice. However, our country was founded in God we trust, and however we interpret God is an individual and a personal relationship. with God, and I agree with you. We have not instilled that, and we are now getting ready to take that out. As a matter of fact, I just heard recently they're getting ready to take it off of the dollar bill. So we've already removed.
Are you serious?
Yes, we've already removed many of this from our schools and separated state and church. And so with these, you're very, very right, with these new found legislative issues, we are going to probably see, unfortunately, more violence, more chronic violence, before we see a turnaround. But I like what also what Donna said. All of you are having some great comments here, and thank you so much. I like what Donna said about changing our understanding. And I think that if anyone, all you teachers out there especially, I know we've got some other teachers outside of our co-hosts and board of directors that are listening in and talking. Listen, teachers, here's another resource for you. Lately, we have been looking at agencies like AmeriCorps and Job Corps and other organizations like that. And what we need to look at is civic engagement. Many of our children are not even aware what civic obedience is, civil obedience, just interacting, communicating with each other. How do you solve differences among each other? So I encourage you, if you are not aware of civic engagement and service learning programs in your particular school or community, please connect with White Apple Institute. One of our board of directors, Dr. Martha Bergen, is very much involved in this issue and travels around the country speaking about it. And so we will be glad to give you some ideas on how to build civic engagement projects, which will get some of our students out into the community. And these are high school students bound on graduating within the next two-year period. So we want to catch them at their sophomore, junior years, actually freshman years, I'm sure you guys will agree. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Okay. Any other comments on civic engagement and service learning? Because this is one way of getting us involved in helping, and where maybe someone, because that was another student, by the way, that filmed this actual episode of Darion. They actually put a camera from their phone, a video, and filmed the episode without even calling 911. This young man was only on the way to a bus stop. He wasn't even involved with an altercation. He saw the altercation. There was a mob fight going on, but he himself, an honor student and an avid churchgoer and very, very well-known student, very bright, was on his way to a bus stop and somehow got pulled into it because of his rejection to join the gang. Any comments?
Well, yeah, I'd like to interject something here. You know, it's real important to understand, you know, going back to our basic foundation here and what model we are operating from. See, too many times in Chicago, believe me, I know the culture of Chicago. I grew up in that. And I'm telling you this, all the friends and relatives I know that stayed in the inner city, they have some serious dysfunction in their lives right now. They stayed in there. And so looking at our basic healthy family model, they have lost that. You have wounded children from wounded parents.
Yes.
You might have parents that say that the kids should be acting okay, getting along and all that, but then the parents are poor models themselves because they lost what a healthy family model is.
Right.
The wife
I'll
is beating the husband up, the husband is beating the wife up, and so forth. There's turmoil and chaos in the family and so forth. They might be going to church on Sunday, but they're fighting on Monday. You know,
right.
So there's continuing chaos going on. So the idea that we need to introduce, the first of all, a healthy family model, you see,
right.
And then that healthy family model dictates that we treat one another a certain kind of way. We have certain morals that we're not going to compromise. We have a respect for God that we're not going to compromise. We're going to have our kids in school. Now, their choices in school, there are choices. And when parents say, look, you got a charter school system out here. They got it in Chicago also. The kids do not have to go to those gang-affiliated schools. And their charter school doesn't cost anything. They can go to their charter school. Now, of course, they have to investigate the charter school. A lot of them are bad, too. But there are choices. There are churches around who have their own church-oriented schools. So if the parents want a healthy environment, educational environment for their children, they can, you know, they can find it some kind of way. They can do it. They got to first realize it is possible, it is probable, they can do it, they will have a healthy life or family, and it's going to happen. They got to be convicted and convinced within their own mindset that this is going to happen for the family, and that's not what we're saying.
And in your book, Reconnecting, for those of you who are waiting for Nazim's book to come out, Nazim, you have a date on that, just a projected date of when Reconnecting, your book will be out?
Well, right now I'm looking at the summer of 2010. It'll be on the shelves.
Wonderful. And we are. If any of you are very involved in how you hear our co-host Nazim Rashid in the morning talking about all of these topics, this is part of his book, and you can put in a back order on his book by contacting White Apple Institute. We have about 18 minutes remaining on the show, and I wanted to also add in that the $30 million that Chicago has found and pulled together here after losing, unfortunately, their stake in the Olympics, the upcoming Olympics, and it may be because of the shadow of all the violence that's going on in Chicago, with students, that may have been an overshadowing factor. However, Rio de Janeiro did get that money, but that money is going in, and that money is also going to cover security guards. Now, that's another, when we talk about the creation of fear and what Donna was alluding to earlier about changing our understanding, I don't think that security and, as Abibola said, money is going to be the biggest issue. I think we're going to have to go back to the drawing board on love and morality and civic engagement. I think those are going to have to be the key strategies that are going to have to be in any package, not omitting the other issues of security. I'm not trying to say that, but we have to look at what's really going to instigate change in the hearts of our students. Any other comments?
I had to answer something. One thing I had in the school system when I was teaching is a conflict resolution peer counseling development program. And this is not new. This has been happening. Actually, Chicago has that there. I don't know how active or how strong, but they have in their system. And basically, we train the children, the kids themselves, how to resolve conflict and how to help others resolve the conflict. And on top of that, how to teach other kids to resolve conflict. So they actually have the skills within themselves. They actually practice being mediators on campus, and they can teach the class themselves to other children. Now, that's the way to go there.
Yes, absolutely. And unfortunately, are we talking also about parents understanding how to resolve their conflicts? Because, you know, we have to understand, as I've dealt with, and I'm sure all of the teachers online this morning can attest to the fact that many of our parents are either current or have been gang members. And so they themselves have to deal with conflict resolution and mediation issues, and they have not done that. And so the schools can play a very, very big part, and at least if we can't do it on a mandatory level right now, at least to offer these courses as a way of getting the community more involved in not only civic engagement and civil behavior, but in how to resolve these conflicts, as simple as wearing red or blue, as I grew up, not grew up, but I was involved in the gang killings and shootings in Los Angeles, which are still going on now, again. So we're not omitting Los Angeles. This is going on all over our country, okay, in the United States of America.
And when we do research on successful models in terms of society and successful human beings living in harmony and peace and living with respect for one's differences and what have you, we will never find a successful model without the priority of God being involved. That priority is at the top of the list. Our research tells us that. Man, listen to me carefully, man has messed up this world. Man, okay? He deviated from what the manual requires in terms of human success. So once we go back and do the research of what has caused successful societies, what has caused honorable societies, we will find that we have to go beyond removing God from our schools.
Yes.
Whatever God you want, but it better not be no evil God. You know, as you were saying about evil, no. We have to have that religious priority in the lives of human beings. and when you remove that priority, then you will see a decay. You will see the decay.
Let's have
a caller that's been very, very patient here, and I do want to make sure that I get his comment. Is that Tom there calling in?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I say your name right? Okay.
My name's Tom Baker.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say that one thing that schools need to get more involved in is getting their students to get involved in doing volunteer work while they're doing school. One thing is to give them more student pride and more of a sense of accomplishment. And the other thing is it makes them more employable when they get out of school, whether it's high school or college or whatever.
Exactly. And that's, as a matter of fact, that's a very big part, Tom, of civic engagement and service learning is to allow students to get out into the community, and they actually earn college credits for doing this. And so,
that's right.
And even now we have a program through AmeriCorps where they can actually get paid money if they have defaulted student loans. They can return to school. And where I teach at, which is Gateway Community College, we have a high school on campus in addition to the college. So many times my classroom has been composed of college students and high school students at the same time. And so, I totally agree with you. I push service learning, which is a form of volunteerism, but it's a volunteerism that is connected to college credit. And it gets people involved in their community and understanding how we can resolve conflict, how we can begin to change the culture and our environment and without having to cause the family to go through a financial upheaval, okay? Looking for those successful models of people to thank you and changing our way of looking at video games and violence, Tony. Thank you so much for that plug there. That we have to be more involved in what is going on with academic failure. Academic failure is why students drop out and join gangs, okay, because they're not involved in other things within the environment. Yes, go ahead, Jerry.
This is Jerry, and I just want to remind people that we all have the ability to put dropout programs together in our schools.
There you go.
We did it. I did it in the 80s. If it can be done in the 80s, it sure as heck can be done now. And we had results, and the state saw the results and funded the counselors for that because they knew that that helped the schools meet their budget and helped the kids. We had to go through all those processes with those kids. It was from taking them on a retreat out of their environment, bringing them back into their environment and doing things to bond them, and so they become their own workers together. The boys and the women found they had similar issues that they had never discussed with each other, never gotten out of their inner self. So when they come out of it and get goals and realize that they do have a life to live and they can move on and get different results, it changes people. I still get little notes and little reflections from that every once in a while. Somebody appears from 30, 20 years ago, and it's nothing that we cannot ignore today. We have to be involved, and I say to everyone, get involved. There's a place for you, and share, like we're doing today, what works. And that's what it's about.
That's right. This is a radio show where there's positive dialogue. This is a radio show where we're not getting on here to beat up teachers, beat up parents, or beat up students. This is a radio show where we are developing ideas that students and teachers can actually implement within their classroom. And we're taking it a step further. It is all of us who are at least part of the board of directors for White Apple Institute are very, very involved in the mission. And the mission is to get us successfully through school and work so that we can be really valuable contributors in our society. And that's that change. And so I hope that the listeners out there are willing to support our work. And Dorothy Leslie will tell you a little bit about how to support that with membership as we begin to start wrapping up our discussion. We have about 10 minutes remaining here on the show. One of the things that I would like to add in, I know that money is not an issue, the major issue, as the people have brought out, but it is something that we need to look at in our community. So look for those monies. Look for apprenticeship programs that can get our young people involved in after-school work programs. Get them busy. They're not busy enough.
Dr. Appleby, I'd like to ask you one question. You can answer this for me. What do we do with money that's being paid to teachers on a regular yearly basis who are not producing? Do we keep putting money in the pocket with a hole in it? And then
no.
At the end of the year say, we don't have money for the next year or whatever. What do we do?
We can't. We need to promote your book, which is Dead Teachers Cannot Teach Live Students. Any of you interested in Habibullah Saleem's book, Dead Teachers Cannot Teach Live Students, I love the book. I've already looked a little bit at the cover. I want to read it thoroughly, Habibullah, but I think that you've got a very good point. It is a pocket with a hole in it. And not only are we talking about teachers being more involved during the day, and again, this is not beating up these teachers, but just looking at the factor that we need to encourage you and support these teachers out there. So call us. Talk to Habibullah. He's part of the board of directors for White Apple Institute. Talk to Nazim Rashid. We have plenty of resources for you of great teachers that are willing to share strategies. So you don't have to give up and be afraid to go on your campus and implement new programs. There's money out there that can be used to do it, but we don't want, as you said, we don't want to throw money away. And a lot of money is out there. I mean, you'd be surprised at how many billions of dollars are going into systems. So why isn't it helping? Why are we going, not only not just backwards, we're going into another dimension of thinking, okay, where students can be that so-called evil and burn down memorials of another student, not even respecting the family, having a chance to mourn the death of someone who has passed. Okay, this is a very serious thing. And with 7 minutes remaining on the show, we know that some of our board members are getting ready to prepare for an inspirational message from Habibullah. But I turn the show over at this time to Nazim and Dorothy Rashid. Nazim will do a closing statement, kind of like pulling all this stuff together. And Dorothy is going to share some resources, and I'll come back on in a moment. This is Professor Applewhite.
Okay. Yes, I'll actually, my book, Reconnecting, How to Be a Mentor to Our Child Self, has a lot of the answers that we're talking about today. And one of the things that I mentioned in there is actually painting the picture of a healthy family model, painting the picture of what a healthy father does, painting the picture of what a healthy mother does, painting the picture of what a healthy marriage is all about, painting the picture of how all the family members interact with one another in a healthy, loving, compassionate way. Okay? With that in mind, how do we raise a family? You see? And so we can go in our mind, of course, a lot of us, most of us will say, we have no idea what that's all about. No idea whatsoever, you see? So ask yourself, how would it feel? How would it feel if you're hugged more by your mother, by your sister and brother, by the father when you're younger? How would that feel, you know? How would it feel if your mother spent personal time with you when you're younger, taking you out and asking you how you felt about certain things, how you saw the world, and how you think you can make a difference? How would it feel if your father did that? You know, so you ask these questions, and you say, yeah, that would be wonderful. So what you do, you actually put the pieces of the puzzle together yourself and say, yes, I'd like to have had this. Well, in my process, I actually design a way where you can actually go back in time and create that healthy model for yourself. Recreate what happens there through the mentor, which is you. And this can happen. Now, I don't have enough time to really talk about exactly how it happens, but just believe that it is possible. You can have what you want to have. You're going to fill those old emotional voids. You're going to have the love that you never had before. You can have it. You deserve it, and you're going to have it, and you can have it. Yes, you can, if we just reconnect to our core, which is that soul, which is that spirit, which is that God stuff within, the highest stuff within, basically to God within.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God for that statement. Thank you so much. And I encourage also our listeners to go back. We have some archived shows where you can hear more information about these topics. One is one of our first shows, When the Student is Ready, the Teacher Appears. And that goes for all of us. and faith in our educational systems. We are not going to give up at White Apple Institute in having faith that our educational systems can turn things around. And so we encourage you to join us in this faith and joining whatever your political affiliations are. There's something happening in our White House administration when we have a president who does at least acknowledge that at least a year or two more after high school is absolutely mandatory for our young people in order to be involved in the global workforce. We've got about 4 minutes remaining now. Let's turn this over to our resource consultant, Dorothy, and then you can go ahead and open up for Abibola to close with an inspirational message.
Okay. I just quickly wanted to remind everyone that you can come to our website, whiteappleinstitute.org, and connect. If you want to find out more information for apprenticeships and grant money for also the defaulted student loans help through AmeriCorps, come to our website. Also, we have a phone number, 480-659-8582.
You're wonderful, Dorothy. We sure appreciate all of the work you do to pull together resources and to notify us about what's going on. We give praise to God for you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything? I know you're always pushing the library. Listeners, listen out there. For those of you who are sitting at home and saying, you know, I don't have a computer or I don't have means to grow and to learn, take a walk to your public library, as Dorothy always reminds us on the show. It's very, very important. Anything else that we have? We have that information from Tony that we're adding into our files. The membership, Dorothy. Can you tell us a little bit more about the membership? I think the PayPal is up now where people can actually pay.
Oh, okay. Yes, on our also on our website, you can fill out the application for the memberships for White Apple Institute. They range from $12 annually to $288 annually.
And that comes with consultation hours for different projects for teachers. If they get the teacher membership, they can actually have hours with a professional in the field that can help them research grants, do some grant writing. There's a course that we offer through White Apple Institute online. Everything is online. And also for employers to understand more about Americans with Disabilities Act and apprenticeship programs. So if you're an employer that's looking for a way to reach out in your community and say, I would like to train some young people, please let us know, because we'd like to help you to reach out to them. Even if it's just part-time work, we have money, we have resources for money that will actually support 50% of the minimum wage. So if you were willing to pay 50% of the minimum wage, which I believe is $7.25, I'm sorry, I can't remember that right off the top of my head. Is that right, everybody? Did I say that right? I think that's good. Is that right, about $7.25? I think so. Okay, I don't remember either. But anyway, what I'm trying to say to you is that there are programs that will pay half of the $7.25, okay? Anything else? We have some inspiration from Abibola Saleem before Nazim Rashid's music closes us out.
You ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I have Let Us Save Our Future by Saving Our Children. Know for sure that courage is not a wimp. Know for sure that courage is not a pimp. Courage is that which is desperately needed. Courage avoids our students from being defeated. Talk too often is that which is cheap. Courage is the sacrifice that avoids defeat. Sitting on the sideline, never to be seen, blocking the essence of our children's dream. Parents and teachers must connect with guts, or else our students will remain in ruts. Ruts of entrapment, subliminal decline. Courage with vision is truly genuine. Let us save our future. Let us save our future by saving our children. Thank you.
Professor Applewhite, thank you so much for being able to lean with 12 seconds remaining. We want to say thank you for all of our guests this morning. Our listeners are out there, and we appreciate you and wish you much love and peace. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Student, the Teacher, the Student Internet Radio Show. Please connect with us, and thank you so much again. Much love and peace. Saturday morning, 10 to 11. See you next week.